Okay, so yesterday, guys, we saw, right? We saw that the Gemara laid out the positions of Rav and Shmuel in terms of the shape of how trees should be positioned, both in the context of kinyan, of whether we assume that when you sell a tree or series of trees, there's an assumption that you also get the land or not, and also in the context of Tosefta Shviit, where the leniency of plowing all the way up until Atzeret applies only to a field, to an orchard, but not necessarily to a tree, where the cutoff might be earlier, depending on right more the practical issue. And we saw that both of them are a fold of Pnei Moshe, and though in opposite ways, see that the logic that the Gemara is going through is how much is this based on agricultural reality, how much is it based on the way people perceive and relate to the land, and how much is it a hybrid, where for the Pnei Moshe, the Marafolda, it starts in opposite directions, right? Either the assumption is that by Shemitah, rather, by Kinyan, it goes by how people relate to it, by Shemitah, it just matters about the agriculture, and then that's kind of that both of them are certain hybrid or the reverse. But what we left off was that both of these are assuming that the issue at hand is more about the shape and the maximum spacing, right? Because things can't be too far spaced because then they will be considered individual trees. But we had, and all of those shittos assume that when the Gemara gets to Itachami is a new conversation, right? And therefore, right, we've dealt with our issue, or we had a Hava Mina that the positioning issue is only by Kenyan or only by Shemitah, and then we say no, it's by both. And then the Gemara moves on to something else. The exception, though, was the Ritbaz, following instances of the Gra, and that's what we had started yesterday. Okay, so let's go back to the Ritbaz and let's read it again. Should we take it from the top? Take it from the top, the Ritbaz. Okay, fine. So Rav Amar starts in Bet Amar. Rav Amar about Suriyin Subar Shmor Basuyin Shura. Amar Rav Yosi Tamani Tamar V'Chaloi Tamar. So Perish. Dafkalin in Kinyan Karka Bazen Nafkamina Bein Suvar L'Shura. But the shape issue or Suvar versus Shura only applies by Kinyanim, by acquisitions. K'ditah V'Sachet Bava Batra Demand Amar Kechat Suvah V'Al Shura Lo Mishum D'Mizdara. Right, the one who says that it has to be in a chatzuva is very simple. We've seen this already, that if it's in a straight line, so then I sell my field to Mordechai, I sell part of my field to Mordechai, I sell three trees, but if they're all on a line, so I say, listen, Mordechai, all you get is those three trees, and the rest of the field is mine, so I can plant. But if I sell it to him triangulated, so then because he's going to have to go around all the fields, that's going to interrupt my ability to simply plant the field. So that reveals the fact that shows that my original intention was that Mordechai get not just the trees, but he acquires the field with it. That's vision of Rav. But what does that have to do with Shemitah, where it's about agriculture? And according to Ritbaz, agriculturally, it doesn't matter where the trees are. Once there are three trees in the field, the amount of resources that they need is right, and therefore the amount of resources they need is enough that it doesn't matter where they are. He said, no, perish. It says later on that later on we talk about a shura. And shura isn't just a line, but it is a tightly packed line. The targum choma hu shura, because when we have the word choma in Vayikra, Uncle is translated as chom as shura. V'uapia Yerushalmi kasher yitvayar bezrat Hashem lekamon. U'smuchin ha'ilanot zeitz al zem mamash v'nasu kechoma lo mahani v'netiot lekamon. Right, and they are right very close together. I mean, as we see later in the Nitzio, that's relevant. V'kamrina and Shambi Gemara l'kamon d'trei gav neshura ika. There we see there's two types of shura. D'yesha nikra shura be'omdin b'shura achad mufuzarin zem. He says sometimes we refer to a line, meaning that they are on a line, but they're not packed together. V'yesha nikra shura be'omdin b'akom echad. And sometimes a shura is a line where they're packed together. Uperish shura hazeh chomah. That type of shura is a chomah. Fine. With that background, the Ribba says v'alzeh kam Rabbi Yonah. So Rabbi Yonah comments as follows: Tahad gamar rav b'tzuvar velo b'shura hu ashura krova. The only time that space, that shape matters is when.
When it's close
together, because when it's packed together, the only way that it's also plantable and manageable is if it's at least spaced, right? It's staggered, as Josh put it. But Shmuel holds that at least by trees, even in a packed straight line, this is an effective way of planting, and therefore it's considered an orchard. But now, right, remember, according to everybody else, this is the end of discussion. But the next line in the Gemara, so look at the Gemara, the next line is, let's just read it, that itachame, or etachame, bisha'a shehabakar, sorry, amar le reimana vimkrovin tanina kidei shebakar ve'over v'cheilav. Right, so the Gemara, the way everyone else understood it was that Rabbi Mana then challenges Rabbi Yonah that if we're talking about where the trees are close together, everybody knows that, right? Kedisha b'akar v'chelav, everyone knows that they can't be too close together, and therefore you don't have to teach us that, and the Gemara just leaves that question hanging. But now, the way the Ridbaz reads it is follows, Zem matra monav, di'ev shalomar, the b'shurak ha'chomash, mo matar bilano. It can't be that if it's packed together, Shmuel would allow it to be closer than the amount you need for an ox. Why not?
Because
that means right, and that's a Mishnah. Right, more important, the Vatanina. So he says, it can't just be that the reason that when they're too close together, the problem is that they're making the trees die, because that's not really our issue here. What's the issue here? Whether it damages the land, right? Right? Because that's the issue in Shemitah. The Ein Mafsid Shum Shedach Ma'adama Shaper Dami, because when they're close together, maybe the trees will die, but it's not hurting the land because they're so packed together. The rest of the field is. It's fine. Right? It's fine. Al Zem Masik Dezeh Eino Atam. And he says, Ela Ita Chami. This is how you read the Sugya. Bishash Abakar Vechelav Asher Shim Malchin Menatzad. Bishash Eino Bakar Vechelav Asher Shim Malchin Menatzad. The difference is as follows. When there's enough space between the animal, between the trees, such that an animal, the ox can walk through, so then the roots will go out on the side. But when they're packed together, they won't. What does that mean? He is the ein makom l'sharshim l'tpashet. When they're too packed together, the roots won't go anywhere. Imkein mikoach tam zeh l'mekar kaim v'shoshin abakar v'cheilav. And that's the reason that the trees are going to be uprooted. So this is what he says. Okay? He says as follows. Everyone agrees that if the trees are too packed together, doesn't matter on the shape, that what? Can you plant it?
No.
No, why not?
Space.
Because of how people relate to it or agricultural problems? No, agricultural problems. Right? He says the reason is because the roots will... They'll die. Right? They're not going to be able to spread out. And therefore, when it comes to packed together, remember we saw some who said when it's packed together, that's when they argue whether it has to be in a triangle or not. What does he say? No, when they're packed together, everyone agrees that it doesn't work. No, nothing works. Right? When they're packed together, nothing works. Right? Because it can't be like what other people said, that listen, they're only arguing about when they're too close together, because when they're too close together, that's when you need it to be staggered. That can't be right, because when they're that close to, together, staggering won't help. And it will, right, the trees will just die. And therefore, it can't possibly be that there's any agricultural need to plow the entire field. Because what would be the agricultural need to plow the field? And you have three trees all the way on one side. Why do you get to plow the whole field? Because the roots go out minatzah. They spread out, right? Because, no, it's for the trees. You can never be... Right, but if they're evenly spaced at enough distance, then the roots will go, they'll spread out in one direction, right? But he says, but Rav and Shmuel argue that what? If they're spread out and they're going to survive, so then Rav and Shmuel argue whether it needs to be triangulated or not. When they're too close together, everyone agrees that it doesn't work for Shemitah, right? When they're... Because for agricultural reasons.
Spread out and then survive. Is that like saying like a basic level of like agriculture?
Sounds like it, right? Because it sounds like, according to him, the issue is at what point will, do they need, right, will the roots spread out such that agriculturally you'll require working the whole field, because that's where the roots are.
If they were too close together, then it would be a moot point. Correct. The argument should be about that. Is it
agriculture? Is it,
do we consider the field because of the agriculture?
Oh, wait, no, so he said the minimum size is agricultural. Then he says, what are the maximum size? Right? So he said, there, Rav and Shmuel argue that Shmuel says that you never get the whole field if it's stuffed on one side. Sorry, you get the whole field even if it's stuffed on one side. And Rav says only if you triangulate it, right? Now, within that, you could say it in both directions. You could say that that's true in Kenyan, right, because of how people relate. You could say it's true by Shemitah, right, because... By Shemitah, Shmuel says, look, even when they're spread out, so it'll spread out to the right to the whole field. And Rav says, no, you need more than that. You need, in order to justify the whole field, it's not just enough that they spread out one direction. Rav says, no, they need to be triangulated, because then they're actually going to spread. They don't just spread out in one single line, right? They spread out in all directions, and therefore, if they're all on one side, you don't need the whole field. Okay. So now let's continue in the Yerushalmi. Fine. Now, what we said is that everybody, for one reason or another, agrees that itachami b'shasha b'akar over v'chelav asherushin malchin min atzad v'shasha ena b'akar over v'chelav ein asherushin min hatzad. So we'll now read it the way everyone else reads it, which is, according to everybody else, right? Why do you need, what was the Havamina? Why do you need a space big enough so that the Bakar will go through? So according to the Radbaz, this is the Maskana. But according to everybody else, what's the Havamina? That the only reason you need enough space between trees that the oxen can go through is because otherwise the roots won't have room to spread out. One second. Sorry. The way everyone else understands is this is a, what's it called? It's a tmiya, meaning, did anyone have a havamina that you don't need the minimum spacing? Without the minimum spacing, right? Exactly. Now, according to most mefarshim, there is no answer on this question, which is, why should you have a havamina, right?
Perhaps for Kenyan, you could still appear with us, like,
right.
If you didn't say hybrid, like, how could you?
Right. So if you look at 6, it gives you an explanation, right, in the footnote here. He quotes from Chaim Kanievsky that maybe the Havamina had been like this, that even though everybody knows that when the trees are packed together, they won't last, right? So the Maskana, obviously, you're not allowed to plow the field, because when they're two packed together, they're just going to die. But maybe the Gemara Havamina, that since until that happens, right, meaning they're not going to die immediately, right? And in the meantime, they're still drawing nutrients, right? Maybe not sufficiently, and maybe they're going to die, but maybe there was a hava amina that in the meantime, because... Exactly. So that's the hava amina. Okay, let's continue. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Shaul. Rabbi Eliezer asks.
Is this different than Eliezer?
No, it's Eliezer. It's just in the bottom, and the Yerushalmi Aleph often fall off. Rabbi Eliezer, right? Remember I mentioned this before. Rabbi Eliezer becomes Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Abba becomes Rabbi Ba. Right? So Rabbi Eliezer Shaul. So when we talk about these three trees, mi umizu lezu sheshesri, ulitzad esrin v'chamesh. So Rilazar says, maybe, why don't we say that the only case in which you're allowed to plow the whole field is, you see the picture? You see the picture? Is where there's three trees, 16 between each, and then 8 to the border, and 25 to both sides. Okay, someone who has the article to show. Right? He says, maybe it's only like this, right? Where they're equally spaced in the middle. Right, why don't you say that is the only case in which you are allowed to do it? Now, why would you say that? Yeah, why would you limit the heter to plow the entire field to that case, where the three trees are smack in the middle, spaced? Very good. Right, I think the simple shot would be to say that if you think that the only reason to plow the entire field is for agricultural reasons, so then you might argue the only time when you need the entire field is where they're in the middle. Why? Because then if you assume that the roots go 25 amot, so if the three are smack in the middle of the field equidistant, then their roots are going to go at 25 in both directions. Possibly, but no. But simple pshat is that Rabbi Eliezer, right? What? No, because you'll assume they go this way.
They only go that.
Yes, they only go this way.
Or you could have a triangle where.
Yeah. Now, why would you say this? Where does he get the idea that roots go for 25 amot? From Bava Batra in the second perek, from the laws of Hilchot Shechinah, that if you have a tree, you have to distance it 25 amot from somebody else's well, because the roots will go 25 amot and ruin the person's well. Okay, so from there he derives that the roots of a tree go for 25 amot. Okay?
And more than that can be considered in the case of the well, if it goes more than 25 amot, then you are not higher because you couldn't have expected it?
Something like that. Right, though that's a more complicated circuit. Now, there is one little point, however, that might... The simple shot, I think, of Rabbi Eliezer is that he's saying this is just an agricultural reality. And therefore, really what should be is the only time it's mutter if it's smack in the middle. What's the problem? Right, the Marafulda notes that there's a slight problem. The Chazanit makes this point also. There's a slight problem with understanding Rabbi Eliezer as purely agricultural, and that is... There's a slight problem with saying that Rabbi Eliezer is purely agricultural, right? Mordechai said, why would you say anything different? Why would you say Rabbi Eliezer isn't purely agricultural? Why?
If you said a straight line, not triangle.
So he's telling you, if it's smack in the middle...
Straight line is...
Someone, give me a... This is not like a big lumdish point. It's just, you just need to think, spatially to understand the point.
There's only 16...
And therefore... No, because he assumes that they're going in this way. They're going to the sides, horizontally.
Oh, no, the ones by the walls.
The problem is the corner. Come on, think corner, right? Look at that picture. Look at that picture again, right? Look at the picture again. Correct, but that means here, from here to here, from the tree up to the corners, right? Because there's space from the wall, right? Because they can't be squashed against the end of the field, right? There's a little bit of space for. Correct, but the point is that if he was saying, right, but the point is, but why are you allowed? Correct. You can't plant all the way at the edge because someone else's field, whatever. But his point is then, but why, according to him, if it's purely agricultural, are you allowed to plow in the corner of your own field, which is how many amot from the tree?
Too much.
How much? How much? Come on, people. No! No, the y-axis is 25. The x-axis is 8.
It's the square.
Someone.
The square root of.
Yeah, very good. So 25. Okay, let's do the math very quickly. What's 25 squared?
Big number.
625.
Plus 64.
What is 8 squared? Thank you, 64. Add those together. 689. Very good. Oh my god. Right. Let's see. Right triangle. If I do a right triangle calculator. But no, but that's exactly, okay. Do we have a marker I can show you on the board? Right? But I don't know if we do. Right? Right? It's very simple. Right? I know you don't know the exact number. That's fine. Right? But the point is, right, he's saying is if. Oh, God. Okay. Fine. We don't have a marker for the board, so let's do this. Let's do this spatially. Okay, this room is our field. Ellie, stand up for a second. Stand right here. Right, Mordechai, stand right there, right there. Mordechai, stand up for a second. Just stand right there. Shlomo, stand up for a second. Good. Walk a little bit. Good. Okay, right there in the middle. Right, three equidistant trees, and your roots are coming all the way to this wall and all the way to that wall. Right, that's what Elazar says. Why now? Shlomo, why walk all the way to the door? Why can't you stand all the way by the door? Very good. Because now the roots are going to someone's field, or maybe there's a wall there, right? And therefore you can be. So you're come back to where you were, right? So my fullest point is, so this works for 90% of the field. Where does it not work? Thank you.
Right
here. Hi, me in the corner over here. Right?
He never said a square field.
What?
Never said
fine, but this is my... Okay. Yes, yes, yes. But it's 26.248881, right, whatever. Right? 881. Now, thank you. Thank you, my trees. Right? So, but what is it? So what's the answer? Why are you allowed to do it? So maybe you could come up and say, maybe he means a differently shaped field. We could figure it out in a Hanami. Right? But the Marafolda says, okay, but once it's, we give you 90% of the field, we give you the rest. Now, what does that indicate? So it could just be that it's Derabbanan, right? At the end of the day, this is Derabbanan, it's Tosef Shviat, so you get 90%, right? So one way to say, no, it really is just agricultural, but it's Derabbanan or something. But if you wanted to say that even Realizer has some sort of hybrid, right, that would be your proof, would be that we still give you the corner, mm-hmm. right? Which is, once 90% of the field or more, right, is covered agriculturally, so people relate to it as if you're plowing... Lutzarech, Shishit, even though technically there's a part of it that's Shviat, but that doesn't really matter, right? That, if you wanted to justify some sort of hybrid, right, that would be, right, where you would come up with it. Okay?
Can you say to Rabbi Eliezer, the case by the well is they're given, like, the tree that has, like, the roots that will go the farthest, but in a regular case, you're not going to be growing that tree?
You're good. Okay. You're good. Fine. That's the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak boy. Hayunitunim b'tzara gader chorshin kol beitza bishvilat. So Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak says That's not true. Even if they're all on one side, right? Even on the side of a wall, right? And I give you have a wall there, you can still plow the entire field. How does he know? How does he prove it? Because our Mishnah doesn't say otherwise, right? Right? It doesn't say that. And therefore he says, you can't be that you dafka need it. Now, why would he allow this? Right? Why does he not require this equal spacing? So, one way, so there's different ways. The Marfolda just says, right? So one possibility is that, look, the whole thing's Darabanan and whatever, even if it had an agricultural basis at the end of the day, right, once you have three trees, we allow. What else might you say?
Hybrid.
Right, it could be if you all relate to it, or it could be that he has a different agricultural understanding, right? And he says, no, when they're by the field, so then naturally, what will the roots do? They'll spread out. Normally, they spread out 25-25, but if they're stuffed against a wall, they'll spread out 50, right? Yeah, or something like that, right? Right, the Rashi Rilio just says, no, it's Chashuv, Kenyan, whatever. Right, you could go in different, right, the Penei Moshe is a different understanding. I won't get into it too much, but he says that the suffix is really whether it goes on beyond the wall. Okay, fine. But we'll leave it. So then the Gemara says, and Amar Rabbi Yossi, again, I don't want to get you too bogged down, so that's why I just sort of make the basic points, but Amar Rabbi Yossi, in boy, nitain lohem arba sa'a, say amikan. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you could really take advantage of this het there. This is how the Marfold understands. And what could you do? So I need three trees again, right? Okay, who wants to be my three trees this time? Okay, Kobe can be a tree. Josh, tree?
Sure.
Who else wants to be the tree? Shlomo, you want to be a tree? Okay, come here. Good. Okay, you all be trees. Okay, whoever wants to be a tree, come to this wall. Okay? So he says like this. This is how the Marafulda says in his right? Now, Mamish lean against the wall. Right? So now, you're against the wall, so, and this is your field. How much of this field are you allowed to plow?
All of it.
Very good. But then, the person does something very clever. First, he plows the entire field, and now he does this.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Yeah, come out here. I didn't write it here. I'm just building another wall. Hey, guess what, this isn't my field anymore. That's my field. Hey, and he plows that whole side, and then, right, I say, hey, I got a better idea, let me move it this way, and I plow that way. So he actually says it is. No, so he said that's actually what you can do.
Right, so that's actually what he says. Right, so Marafulda says, "Iboy haibala ilanot yachol lasot chenitain lo arba sa'in." You could get four sa'a haketza kesher yachrosh beit salif mehen. You have to get another name. Yachrosh beit zara chad v'chein arathim. Each time, what do I do? Would I turn the field? No, what are you talking about? Now, how would you justify like this? Good. So you could say that's just conceptual, right? Or you could say, no, what I've actually done is now, at least temporarily, while I put the wall there, now the roots are going to go in the direction. You don't know that I'm going to switch it. I mean, but yeah, it does.
Why can't you read the Mishnah?
I think Kobe likes the second answer to the Marafolda better, which is, this isn't a statement. This is a question, which is, if that's true, if you get 50 amot, even when they're stuffed against the wall, then someone could take advantage of this way, and therefore it can't be true. And therefore he's positing, right? So, right, so the Marafolda's second answer, the second understanding is this isn't an this isn't a statement, it's a challenge. It's saying, no, you must poskin like Rabbi Eliezer that there's an agricultural reality to it, because otherwise someone could take advantage, and that would be insane. Right?
Maybe it's a hybrid.
Maybe when the Mishnah says
base stock, it needs a quarter.
If you do this, they get a full one.
Right? The Bnei Moshe also says it. Right? The Bnei Moshe also says it as a question that this is crazy. It can't be true. And therefore, they reject this. As opposed to Rosh Terilio, who says no. And says, no, it's fine. Why is it fine? Because he says, Loed Marshur, the Mata Asar, the Leitza, he said, because there's no minimum on this, right? It's just, this is the nation of Takana, and that's it.
How large in modern standards is
the Leitza? So it's 2,500 square amot. So a square amma, an amma is anywhere between 18 inches and 24 inches or so. So, right? So let's take 2 feet just for ease, right? So that means 50 by 50, which means 100 by 100, which is 10,000 square feet.
So
right, 10,000 square feet.
Since
I don't know how big that is. I honestly don't know.
Since the idea of like how you feel
about that's not so big. I mean, 10,000
feet. Each of you, yeah, each of you
counts about
the
country.
Since
the Hegel that it's about yourself and how you perceive your field, then nowadays would it be different standards?
I mean, potentially, right? Potentially. Okay.
Why doesn't it matter on the type of tree?
That the Gemara gets to later on in the parak a little bit. Okay, so let's continue. So then the Gemara says there is even a way where you could have one tree, which you could plow the whole field for. How could you pull that one off? So Rabbi Yirmiyah boy, haita gefen achat mudle al gabe shtei sa'in. So he said, remember we said, in a case where we don't give you the whole field, so what are you always allowed to do? Chaim, what are you always allowed to do? If you don't do the whole field, what are you always allowed? Melo ha'orev esalo, which is the tree and the amount of holding a basket around it, right? So there is one case in which the Gemara says, where one tree could give you more than a beitza, and that is what? A grapevine. Because have you ever seen how a grapevine, how you plant grapevines? Exactly. Right? You grow it along a, right? So it's not, it happens not to be just grapes. There are other things that grow that way. My neighbor downs. Our houses are built into a mountain. So my neighbor below me, right? So like his backyard is beneath mine, right? Because we're on our, I'm on top of the mountain, he's on the bottom. Fine. And it's staggered. He has a passion fruit tree. And
I wanted those so badly.
Yes. And have you seen how those things grow?
Yeah.
One tree is covering his whole backyard, and now he asks permission from me and my neighbor's backyard, because if you tie it up on a string, it will grow up like this, right? And it'll just cover the whole area. One tree will take over the entire. Yeah, I mean, look, let me show you a picture of what it's imagining, right?
Okay.
So, like, yeah, right? So it's a grape, right, vine on...
Sounds like a Susie.
Right, so this is how you grow... Here's grapes, okay? So, right, you grow grapevines like this. There we go. You can Google just grape on a trellis, right? That's what it's called, right? A vine trellis. But basically, right, you take the vines like this, right? You wrap them around, right? Right, on like a fence, right? That's how you do a grape tree, right? And therefore, if they keep growing, you can keep going, right? So he says there is one case in which you could really get a lot out of a single tree, because since all that is under the tree, right? That is simply the space of the tree. That is Miloha Orev Salo. Yeah? Now, what's the problem with saying this? What's the problem with saying this? What's the problem?
That allows people to exploit the system.
Wait, what? Well, why is it exploiting the system?
You're going to end up plowing an entire field.
So what?
For a tree.
What?
For one tree.
And therefore, what's the problem? What are you implying? Why is it a problem? Why is it wrong?
It's a matter of seeing on the
tree. Well, why is it a problem? Meaning the tree covers the whole field. Why is that wrong? But what's wrong with that? They're not exploiting it. It's actually the space of the tree. Come on, what are you saying? Why is it exploiting it? Why? It's for the tree. Why is it against the spirit? It's for the tree. Come on, tell me.
You're not working it for the field.
Oh, because Josh says, wait a second, if it's agricultural, I understand that this tree, the vines happen to cover an entire field, but... the plant doesn't need you to plant the whole thing, right? Because all that matters for planting is the roots. Right? I mean, that's really what I think Ellie's getting at also, which is, I mean, it looks like it, right? So why would you say it's mutter? So you say, well, it's Darabanan, fine, who cares, right? Or what would you say?
That it's not agricultural.
It's not agricultural, and guess what? What do you have? You have a nice little machloket here, which is, right? Is this a statement or a question? Meaning, the Marafolda says... This is a statement. Of course you're allowed to do this. And what does the Bnei Moshe say?
It's a question.
Are you allowed to do that? Because it's not necessary. Right? Why would you question it? Because if it's agricultural, you'd say, well, I mean, is this agriculturally necessary? Or maybe, is it agricultural or is it bad people relate to it? And the Mara Folder just says, no, that's fine. Because everyone looks at it and says, it's a tree.
Is the responsibility to this as part of the Singapore?
No, at this point, everyone agrees. We've moved on.
So, doesn't there be principles that it's agricultural?
Again,
so
he might say it's a challenge, or he might say they're different shito, right? Okay, fine. Like I said, the same conceptual questions coming up over and over. Remember I said that? I said we could spend a million years on it, but I just wanted to show you how these are the basic questions that come up over and over. And look, we're actually about to turn to Daf Bet in the regular Yerushalmi. Finally, right? Okay. Right? So now the Gemara says, okay, next issue. Be'isur shnei prakim arishonim. Eilu milemalan chorshin bo milematan ve'ilu shelematan chorshin bo lilemalan. So now the Gemara gets into a very, gets into another case, which is what happens if a tree is planted on a hill.
On an incline,
yes. Right? Right, like this. So now, what's the question? The 25 amot, are they defined
as on a flat or
on the... Please, give me... On the x-axis or the hypotenuse? Got it? Honestly, basic geometry will help you here. This is not like complicated geometry. The question is, is the relevant issue the hypotenuse or is the relevant issue the x-axis? Oh, right? Lamai nafkamina, when you're on an incline.
Oh, that makes sense. There's no roof on the x-axis. On one part of the x-axis.
Mm-hmm. And therefore you'd be limited in space. That's the point. Right? Is that you would go along the x-axis and therefore it wouldn't be 25 amot. It would be whatever. Right. It would be 25 amot on an x-axis, which on the actual field is less.
Why would you assume that?
Oh, so what? Okay. So let's see the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Be'ezer shem rakamishim elu shelamalon korshin bo milimaton ve'ezer shelamalon korshin bo milimalon."
Right.
So the Gemara says, "Okay." So first it says, "Well, if you have two trees, right? three trees, all on the incline, you're allowed to go 25 amot." Below and above, right? Right, that's Gemara's starting statement, okay? Yeah? But then the Gemara says that's not so clear. Now, sorry, right? So the way the Gemara first frames it is that you get 25 amot, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra, meaning you don't get more and you don't get less, right? Even though, right? Right?
Even if it takes up more than 25 amot.
Exactly. Right, so the Gemara says, Nicha ilu shelemala, amit milemala n'chorshin bo li lemata. V'elu milemata n'chorshin bo lo lemala. And he says, why are you allowed to do that? Maybe only the trees above you can plow for them going down because roots go down. Roots don't go up. So the Gemara says, no, nishmena mehada. Right, as we saw in the case, as I mentioned before, in the case of damages, right, you have to distance your tree 25 amot from someone else's well. And in that case, we say that you have to distance your tree from the well 25 amot, whether it's going up or down. What does that seem to prove? That roots go up and down. Right? Okay.
Wait, it sounds like by the case of the well, the roots go 25 almost in every direction, or else if you have the roots going in a straight line, then you could still put it next to it if the roots go parallel to the well.
Yes.
But we were saying before.
Well, one second, right? So he says, which if you look at, now there are different ways of understanding this line, Kamuvan. So if you look, for example, the Rosh Cirilio, says that this is a question, right? By Talmuda, ima ilan om lamatan, mi amrina nami de harshan bishvil lamala, achitashlom shira nigia obeitza, right? This whole thing, according to Rosh Cirilio, is a question. Everyone agrees that you're allowed to plow downwards. The question is, are you allowed to plow upwards? What's the answer?
No.
Yes, because the roots go up, as proven from the case of damages. Right? Meaning they do go up this way, up the hypotenuse, even if it's going vertical. Right?
So we learn from the well,
exactly. Exactly, right? We learn from the... Yes. But that's how he takes it. That's the Rosh Cirilio. The Marafolda takes it a little bit differently. Right, the Marafolda focuses not, as the Rosh Cirilio says, whether you ever let a plow up, but on what we said before, which is, are you limited to 25 amot, right, meaning on the hypotenuse, right, or do you judge it by the x-axis, which going up will limit you and going down will, right, expand, right? Right, and what the Gemara is basically telling you is as follows. One second. Which one is worth reading? Right now, the Pnei Moshe has a different understanding. Maybe it's according to this. Right, what are the Rosh Cirilio and the Marafolda both seem to think? Now, what is the Gemara proving from the case of the well?
That roots
actually go along, right, actually go up, right? However, the Pnei Moshe says, no, what you learn from this is that it's a low plug, that they don't actually grow up. It's just that this is not an agricultural halacha, right? As we give you 25 amot, we're motivated by the agricultural, but at the end of the day, it's not really an agricultural halacha at all. Right, just a low plug on the Takana Derabana. Okay? Fine. So then the Gemara says, wait a second. Oh, Neymar, maybe not. Maybe you can't prove from the case, right? Until now, the Gemara proves that either because of low plug or because of agricultural reasons, the what we've proven from the case of the boar, of the case of the well, the water pit, is that roots go up the hypotenuse, right? But he says maybe that's not true. You know why? Because he says, O Neymar, Bein She'ilan Malan Vabor Lamatan, Bein She'ilan Vabor Melamatan, V'atani, Ilan Milamatan Vabor Lamatan, Ilan Milamatan Vabor Melamalan. Nicha, Ilan Milamatan Vabor Lamatan, Ilan Milamatan Vabor Lamalan, V'chiderach HaShar Shin, La'alot Milamalan. Right? Can't you prove in that case they go up? Right? And then he says, no, 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 you misunderstand. Right? You can't prove directly from that case. You know why? Amar Rav Chanina, lo mevnei shasharashim, ela shehein osin afar tochech vein malkin arito shel bor. He says, you cannot prove from the case of Nezikin to the case of Shemitah. You know why?
Because one is financial and one is...
So no. He says, because there are two ways that you can damage the water pit. Either, right? So imagine for a second that imagine the water pit is at the top of the incline and the tree is at the bottom. Okay? So why is it that you're not allowed to plant the tree at the bottom within 25 amos? There are two ways of understanding it. One is that the roots climb along the hypotenuse, and therefore they're going to directly damage the water pit, which is at the top of the tree. But he says, the tree at the bottom of the hill will damage the water pit at the top. Or, he says, what? It goes along the x-axis, but either it's a supply or simply it weakens the earth below it so that it collapses, right? So he says, maybe by damages, the reason that we assume that the roots are usher is not because they climb along the hypotenuse, but because even if they go horizontally along the x-axis, that will cause damage indirectly by weakening the earth underneath the water pit, causing it to collapse. Yes? But is that relevant by Shemitah?
No.
No, because by Shemitah, I don't care what it's influencing. What do I care about?
Whether
the roots are actually expanding such that this is relevant, either agriculturally or people relate to it as such, right? However you want to take it. Right? No, because if what we derive is that the roots go along the x-axis, so for damages, even a tree at the bottom and a water pit at top, you have to distance the tree from the water pit because it'll go along the x-axis and will damage the earth underneath the pit even though it doesn't touch the pit. But agriculturally, to figure out whether I'm plowing for the sake of the tree or for the sake of the land, it matters, because if the roots go along the x-axis, so then plowing at the top of the incline is no longer agriculturally necessary. It's just for the land, which is usher, because now you're preparing for Shemitah. But if it climbs along the hypotenuse, then I'm allowed to plow all the way along the hill, all the way along the incline, because since the roots are climbing along the hypotenuse, the whole area is now being benefited in year six from my plowing. So what's the maskana? So the Gemara says, Adu'uf tekum mir biyosi beribon, va'amar yechidi, who? V'lo samchen aloi. V'tani Allah. Right, so he says, maybe even in the context of damages, we don't paskin like this. He says, don't give me a proof from there. Why? Because even by the water case, we reject it. It's a shitat yachid, yachidahu. Right?
So you can't prove a proof from there because people don't believe in that over there.
And exactly, right? He said, don't try to prove something from the case of the water pit, because even by the water pit, we don't agree, and we think that roots only go along the x-axis, and therefore it's not helpful in the context of Shemitah, and it's not helpful in the context of damages, right? Because the Shita who says that we forbid you to plant a tree at the bottom of an incline, we don't postulate like that anyways, right? And then he says, V'tani Allah, Reb Shimon Omer, Kishim Shem B'Lamalan Kach Amru, Mi Lamatan. And how do I know? Because in the Braita, it's quoted only in the name of Rabbi Shimon, right? And we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon.
What's the definition of an incline? At what point is it considered?
It's an incline.
I mean, everything is inclined.
Yeah. Now, I will just note that in the Yerushalmi, what seems to be the maskana? That we paskin, like, against Rabbi Shimon, that if there's a tree at the bottom of an incline and a water pit at the top of an incline, then you don't have to distance it because the roots will not climb along the y-axis, and we don't care that they go along the x-axis and damage the earth underneath.
So you don't actually know.
Right? However, this shita, which is rejected by the Yerushalmi, who accepts it?
The Bavli.
Mm-hmm. The Bavli have to be paskins like Rabbi Shimon. Right? So in the Yerushalmi, we totally reject this position as a minority view, and therefore it proves nothing, not in the context of damages, nor in the context of Shemitah, but it happens to be that the Bavli, in this particular case, accepts the position of Rabbi Shimon the Halacha. For which reason? Is it because the roots climb the y-axis, or because they go along the x-axis and damage the water pit?
X-axis,
right. In the Bavli, we accept this for the purpose of damages, which means that La halacha, we accept it for damages, but we might not accept it for shmita, because by damages, the issue is it going to damage the water pit either directly or indirectly, right? Either by climbing along the y-axis and directly breaking the water pit, or along the x-axis and weakening the earth underneath, right? We paskin that, at the very least, it climbs along the x-axis and therefore damages underneath the water pit, but therefore, since that's the rationale given in the Bavli, that doesn't necessarily tell us that when it comes to Shemitah, where either it's about agriculture, right, where it matters whether it's the Y or the X-axis, or alternatively, what? Or it's how you relate to it, and maybe people aren't Medayik, right? Perception, right? We don't know, right, what the Bavli would necessarily say based on that, right? We don't know simply from the fact that it accepts Rabbi Shimon, how, what Maskana you would derive in the context of the...
What does the Bavli hold that goes on the X?
For, at the very least, it goes along the x-axis, yeah.
But if the roots don't go, because then they'd be coming at the side of the hill.
No. Because, you know, the water pits at the time. No. The tree's at the bottom of the incline, and then...
It was on the side of the incline.
No, well, it doesn't drop off to nothing. It's saying that, like, it's a... Think like a trapezoid, right? Meaning, beyond the triangle side of it, it keeps going. There's more land, right? Meaning, think it's flat, right? What it's imagining is that it's flat at the top, the water pit is the top, and then it goes in a descent. But if it goes along the x-axis, it's going to keep going. It's not like it ends. It's not a right triangle with nothing. It's the right triangle side of a trapezoid.
No, I'm saying,
whatever.
On Shemitah, when it's on the side of the hill, if it's on the x-axis, then it's going to be leaving the hill.
No.
It's going to stick out the side of the hill.
No, it's not. Because there's more going on. That's what I'm saying. It's a trapezoid. Imagine, right, after the triangular part of it, it keeps going. Right, imagine you have a rectangle and then a right triangle attached to the side of it.
I'm not talking about that side. I'm talking about the other side of the roof.
No, but the tree's at the bottom on the other side, so it's going to go this way. It's going to go through the right triangle into the rectangle, which is attached to the right triangle. Or rhomboid, or whatever it is. You know? Because either Bavli thinks that's not a minority position or whatever, or possibly we do that resolve. Yerushalmi thinks it's only one position, right? The Bavli doesn't.
If it's on one side of a hill,
yes.
It's on the side of a hill. One side of the roots will go inside the hill, right?
And the other one, it'll either go underground or they won't grow. Yeah,
it just won't grow at all.
Whatever. Yeah, there's nowhere for it to go.
But if it grows underground, that means it doesn't grow on the x-axis.
No, x-axis that way. Only one direction.
Only one direction is x-axis, the other one's on the...
No, just like we said, by things that are planted by a wall. Okay, guys. I don't think we have time to start the next halacha, but guys, be happy. The next halacha is not just about this. It's that an interesting... The conceptual point raised by the next mission, I'll just introduce it for you, is, remember, until now, what have we been assuming? We've been talking about how much the tree needs to produce, right? But as we already hinted at earlier... Does the tree actually need to produce it?
No,
it needs to be ra'ui. Well, the next Mishnah introduces is a very weird category, which is, these halachot are true even for an ilan srak. What's an ilan srak?
A non-fruit tree.
A non-fruit tree. How do you figure out how much you're allowed to water for a non-fruit tree? the size of a non-fruit tree that if it were a fruit tree, would have produced it to my rim. So what we, right, with the next one is trying to figure out why is that a logical standard for figuring it out. Okay?
And also what does it mean?
Yeah, and then how does it mean, right? That's where the next... Okay, and by the way, guys, at which point you guys give up, tell me. But right now, right, we've at least gotten the main issues down through Halacha Bet. We're on Dalet Amud Aleph in the Oz V'Hadar, so that's great. At which point you give up, let me know, okay? Right? You know, I think it's not a bad... Like again, like I said, I'm doing this because you guys wanted it. It's working for now, I think.